Got your Bibles, turn to Jude. I get the privilege of wrapping up the letter of Jude as we walk through this little dinky letter with all of this warning, right? As you've heard all throughout the series, if you have it, you can go back and catch them either on our website or through the podcast. But I want to remind you of the key verses in Jude 3 and 4. This is why he writes the letter. I wanted to write to you about the salvation we share. He said, but I had to write instead, and I had to urge you to what, church? Contend, right? To agonize over the faith that was once and for all time and for all people. I want to write to you to contend for that faith that's been entrusted to the what? Listen, if you're a saint because you believe in Jesus today, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Right? He says, I wrote this for you. As we talked about a couple weeks ago, that's a crazy plan. The God of the universe entrusted us with something that was only going to be delivered once, and it was going to be for every person. And he said, here's the problem, right? In verse 4, because certain men, whose condemnation was written about long ago, have secretly slipped in among you. Not focusing on chasing down the lost people in the world. They're not slipping into your churches, right? These people are godless, and listen what they do. Here's the whole point of a false teacher, to change the grace of our God into, say it with me, into a license for, that's the goal. False teachers don't care what you believe. They care that you get the freedom to do what you do. They care that you get to come to church or you get to watch online or you get to say, I'm a follower of Jesus, but you know what? The grace of our God is such that he does not care what you do. And that's the goal of a false teacher. The goal of a false teacher isn't to get you to live a life in conformity to Jesus. It's getting you to live a life in conformity to your desires. As long as you have the license to do what you want, that's all they care about. And Jude said, I needed to write to you because you've got something you have to fight for, because here's what's happening. It's being perverted now in the pulpits of your churches. And that's what's happening today. You hear Joe talk about it all the time. We just send each other links to videos of preachers that can't believe the things that they're saying. You heard him talk last week about a preacher who preached on evolution from the pulpit of the well-known Bible church, right? It's happening. Why? So that you and I could do what we want. And so Jude writes this letter, right? He writes this letter. Now, let me ask you a question, right? How many of you have ever heard these words over your lifetime? You're hired. You're fired. I love you. I'm really sorry. I just don't love you anymore. Listen, we've got some bad news. We got the reports back, and your tumor is inoperable. Right? Hey, we wanted to meet with you as quickly as we could. We got your tests back, result, and you are cancer-free. Words matter, don't they? They make a difference, right? And so today in our text, as we wrap up this letter, we've gone from the charge that God has given us against this enemy that we face, and now he closes it, right? And there's five words that make all the difference in the world to us as we close out this thing. Because if there's a letter in Scripture that is pertinent to what's happening in our world today, in the last days, it's the letter of Jude. And so we're going to end with some encouragement today. Five words. Here's the first one, right? Say it with me. Power. That Greek word dunamis or dunamai, here's what it is. It's where we get our word dynamite from, right? What does it say? It says to now to him who is able, right? Now to him who is able in Jude 24, right? And it's not just something you can do. How many of you have ever asked somebody for help and they've said to you, you know what? I'll do my best. I'll try. I can't promise you, but I'll do my best. Anybody got those friends, right? That generally means there's no chance they're going to get it done, right? Right? That's not what God says. Jude says, now to him who is Abel, who's full of the kind of power that dynamite has. He's not a God that might be able to do it. He's not a God that can try to do it. He's a God that says, I can do it. I am able to do it. Listen to the scripture in John 15, 5, just so we're clear about this, right? Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branch. If a man remains in me and I remain in him, that person will bear much fruit. That's the goal of your walk with Jesus. Somebody say amen, right? But he says this, because apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. You don't possess the power that God possesses. You might have strengths, you certainly have weaknesses, but we don't come close to possessing the power, because apart from Jesus, we can't do anything. And what God has is this. You've got to listen. We all know this is true. What we do is based on what we believe or think. Yes or no? Right? That's what we do. There are restaurants you won't go to because you've convinced yourself the restaurant's no good. Right? There are spots in the world you'd never travel to because you're convinced it's unsafe. Right? We all know that what we think drives what we do. Listen, what you're being taught when people go to church makes a difference. And here's what Jude says at the end. God is able. He has the power in this process that you don't possess. Listen to Philippians 4:13. You know this one, right? I can, dunamis, right? Now it's you, believer in Jesus. I can do everything through Christ who gives me what? Who gives me that power. Listen, if you're a believer in Jesus online in here, let me hear you say it. Amen. Listen, I have that power in me now. Not my own, but his. Now to him who is able, he's passed that on to you. You're now able. Now, let's be honest. If you're 4'10" and you're 44 years old, you can't play in the NBA, okay? If you're 66 years old with 3 kids and 9 grandkids, you won't be Miss America, right? That's not what that verse says. That verse says that even if I call you to be a missionary and I ask you to go to Malawi and then I give you not one but 2 sets of twins, you have the power, the dunamis, the dynamite within you to do what things? All things through Christ who gives me strength. So, Cord, you've got vertigo. Big deal. I can, through God's power, do what things? All things. See, the promise is this. That word changes it because there's too many of us who walk around on a day-to-day basis going, I can't do it. I'll never be able to overcome it. I'll never be able to say no. I'll never be able to get rid of this. That's not true. That's a lie from the devil. If you're a believer in Jesus, the power that God has is the power that he's passed on to you. And now through him, you are able. You are able through the power of the Holy Spirit to say no. You see, failure in our lives as a Christian isn't a lack of power. Because we have that power. It's a lack of will. It's not a lack of power, right? You're not sitting out there as a believer, watching online as a believer, and you're powerless. The power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. You. Broken, frail, doubting, fear-filled you has the power that raised a man from the dead, and it lives in you. I can do all things, not to him who is able. This is a God who can. Not a God who might. Not a God who says, I'll try. But a God who says he will. And that's important because here's the second word, right? What? Protect, right? Here's the Greek word, right? Here's the picture. This is a soldier whose job is to be a front line sentry. His job is to be out in front of the army, out in front of a group of men, and his job is to gather intelligence and report it back so that the enemy does not surprise his fellow soldiers. When the Bible says that God is able because he has the power, the Bible says, now to him who is able to keep you. Everybody say that with me. To keep you. That word means to guard, to protect. It's a military term. God's power is designed so that you can be guarded, you can be protected, you can be warned. Listen, everybody in here knows this if you're a believer in Jesus, right, or online. How many of you have ever felt the Holy Spirit say to you, you shouldn't go in there, right? That question was easily answered by Saturday night church people, right? Like, right? It's gonna be foreign to some of you. This is Sunday morning, right? But how many of you have ever felt the Holy Spirit say, listen, you shouldn't date that person. Don't go to that place. Don't have that drink. Don't say that word, right? You felt it, right? You know what that is? That's a God who's able to what? Keep you, to warn you, to protect you. The design of what God does is for that purpose. This is what Jesus did for his disciples. John 17, 12 says this, while I was with these people, the 11, I protected them. I kept them, I guarded them, and I kept them safe by that name you gave me. And listen to how powerful this protection is. Say that first word. None. None of these fools, none of them were lost, except the one that you already doomed to destruction to the scripture would be fulfilled. These were bigoted young Jewish boys who thought more of themselves than they did Jesus and constantly proved to Jesus they were immature and selfish people. And yet scripture says this about them. I lost how many of them? None. Now to him who has the power to protect you. If Jesus can save those and lose none of them, guess how many in here who know Jesus, guess how many of you he will lose? None. Now to him who is able to guard you. Because listen, your flesh and my flesh want to do stupid stuff. Amen? And the Holy Spirit's job that God has, is to guard you, to protect you. Right? That's what he does. Look into 2 Thessalonians 3, right? The Lord is faithful and he will strengthen, right? Power, dunamis, and he will what? And he will protect you from who? The evil one. You see, the desire of God's power to protect you is to keep you from the evil one. How many parents online in here? Let me see your hands. Parents, right? What wouldn't you do to protect your children? You'd do anything. How many of you have said things to your children all designed to protect them and they hated you for saying it? Right? Right? Listen, we do it all the time. But here's the difference. God, in his power, does one thing. He protects you from the evil one. And if you've ever felt the tug or conviction of the Holy Spirit, you know what it's like to have a frontline officer out front giving you warnings, going, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't date that person, right? Cord, don't put that outfit together and wear it to church, right? Like, you know it, right? But he's able to guard you. He's able to protect you, right? That's what his desire is, right? And why does he do it? Listen to the third word, right? The third word is posture, right? Here's a picture of what that Greek word means when it says from stumbling. How many of you have ever tripped and fell? What a horrible feeling, right? Horrible, right? If you've ever tripped and fell, you know every emotion that comes with that, right? Self-loathing, embarrassment, fear, anger, right? And it never happens in the right place. You're either in front of a million people when you trip, right? Or you're alone and nobody's there, right? It never happens in the middle, but tripping is a miserable thing. Scripture says God has the power to guard you and protect you, give you that warning ahead of time so you won't do this. You won't do this, and yet, well, here we are, practically a full house on Mother's Day, watching online, and how many of you have fallen in your walk with Jesus? Again, much more participation on Saturday night, okay? Just a much more honest group, okay? Right? How many of you have tripped in your walk with Jesus? Did you get what he said? He said, to him who has the power to protect you and guard you and forewarn you from what? From stumbling. Wouldn't it be nice to live a life with Jesus where you quit messing up? Wouldn't that be great? Man, it would be a wonderful thing, right? Well, here's the thing. God has the power and the desire to do just that, to keep you from stumbling. That's his whole desire, right? And yet, in spite of the power, in spite of the warnings, we still fall, right? And mainly what churches are full of people who do love Jesus, but spend most of their time feeling terrible about how often they fall. And they don't know how to move forward. Listen to James 3, right? Read it with me, church, online and here. We all stumble in. Listen, whether you're online or in here, and whether you're a believer or not, you know this is true, right? Is there anybody in here, online, who's willing to admit publicly, you don't stumble in many ways? Anybody willing to admit that? Listen, I just lost $100 to the Saturday night crowd because I told them one person at 9:30 will go, me, right? Right? Like, listen, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at, he just gives an example. If anyone is never at fault in what he or she what says, they're perfect. That eliminates all of us. Because every one of us knows there's things we said we shouldn't have, right? We've all done it. So guess what? We all stumble in many ways. But now to him who is able, not might, but can, because of his power, protect you, guard you, forewarn you so that you don't fall. What do you do when you're the person that falls in many ways? Listen, this room's full of hundreds of people and hundreds more watching online, and the number of faults, the number of falls and trips in our behaviors would be staggering. And then how do you move forward? How do you do it? Because James says this about our many trips, right? In James 2, he says this, whoever keeps the whole law and yet trips, stumbles at just one point is guilty of what? Breaking? You see, that's the problem. God doesn't have any trips and falls in him. He's a holy God. So maybe you're sitting there and you go, I only got one fault, right? Like it's just one. Well, guess what? You're in the same boat as the person you married who's got 100 faults, right? We all got it. One, 100, 1,000, it's all the same thing, right? And here's the thing, what do you do with that? I used to be able, when I was younger, to say to those people that would do that, all the while ignoring my own, that those people just didn't love Jesus. I've learned over my lifetime that's just not true. There's many people in this room and online that love Jesus but stumble in many ways, and their church life and their faith life is filled with the self-loathing and the shame and the guilt of trying to love Jesus and then falling in many ways. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling, amen. I'm so grateful. My life has been, in Jesus, has been so full of stupid mistakes. But do you know how many I've avoided because I did listen once in a while? Listen, if I would have done all the things that I wanted to do and ignored every warning, you'd have never met me. You probably would have read about me in the paper, but you'd have never met me. Right? Every one of us knows that struggle. But listen to word four. Word four begins to transform it. This is the word not present, but present. Present. Here's what that word in the Greek histomai or histomi means. Here's the picture, right? It's the picture now, not only of a God who is able, full of power, right, to guard you and protect you, to give you enough warning ahead of time so you won't fail, so you won't commit adultery, so you won't watch porn, so you won't get drunk, so you won't gossip, you won't be full of bitterness and rage and unforgiveness and walk in pride. There's enough Holy Spirit warning through the power of God to keep us from doing that. Somebody say amen. But what happens when we stumble in many ways? The Bible says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you. That Greek word means to walk over to where you have fallen and to pick you up and to stand you up, right? Histamine. God not only has the power to keep you from stumbling, he has the power that when you do stumble, he'll walk over and he'll pick you up and he'll make you stand. Listen, you know, if you're an honest Christian and chose to be here instead of Saturday night, you know as well as I do that often when we fail, we find a lack of support of people around us, yes or no, right? It's hard, right? You don't get that from God. What you get from God is a God who says, listen, I'm so full of power and desire to protect you from falling, but I'm also a God who's full of the power to walk over where you have fallen, where you have failed in your marriage, where you've failed in your morality, where you've failed in your attitude, where you've failed in your pride, where you failed in your greed, where you failed in your coveting, where you failed in your lying. When you failed in, you fill it in. He says, I'm the kind of God that's not only able to keep you from doing that, if you'll just heed my voice, I'm also the kind of God that'll walk over when you fail and pick you up and stand you up. There's too many people sitting in church at Tomoka and every other church, and all they do is they live their life like the person that's still laying on the ground. Shame on you. Our God is able to pick you up. Your lack of letting him is your lack of belief in him, because we don't lack power. We don't lack protection, right? What we lack is will to trust him, and false teachers will prey on that so you don't have to worry about it. Listen, you need to get this, parents. You need to get this, grandparents, because your children and your grandchildren are gonna need to know the truth of a God who says, now to him who is able, who has the power to guard you so you will not stumble, he's the same God that has that same power to walk over and pick you up when you do. You're not who you were on the ground. You are who you are when he stands you up. Listen to what scripture says about this posture or about this presentation, right? Listen to Romans 5:1-2. These are my favorite verses in all of scripture, right? Somebody said, what's your favorite verse? Romans 5:1-2 are mine. He says, therefore, since we have been justified, legally declared not guilty. He says, since you have that through what? Faith, not going to Demoka, not reading the right kind of Bible, not being a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian or a non-denominational Christian. You get that through faith. He says, because of that, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody want to say amen to that? Right? Then listen to this. That same Jesus, he says, through Jesus, we have gained access by faith into this in which we now, see, here's the thing. Not only is God able to keep you from stumbling, he has the power and the foreknowledge to do it. He has the ability to not just do that. He has the power to walk over where you've stumbled, because we stumble in many ways, and to pick you up and to stand you in the exact same place of grace you stood before you failed. Did you hear that? You got a divorce. You had an affair. You spend all your time drunk. You spend all your time gambling. You lie, you cheat, you're greedy, you're covetous, you're a liar. Whatever it is, your stumble is the same as my stumble, because it puts us on the ground. We have a God who was designed in his power to keep us from doing that. And we ignored it because we stumble in many ways. But we have a God who's able to walk over and to present us, to stand us back right, upright, so people will see we're not down, but we're up. But where do we stand? Too many of us stand in the place of our failure.
I'm just messed up. I'm just blah, 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 blah. No, no, no. God doesn't just have the ability to present you. He has the ability, the Bible says, to present you without fault. Blameless. Blameless. Say that with me. Blameless. Here's the picture, right? The picture of blameless, right? Check out the picture, right? This is a picture of a person with wrinkles and blemishes, age spots. The Bible says that God is able to pick you up without any of that. It took me 7 years to quit seeing myself as this person in my life with Jesus after failing in multitudes of ways. Until one day I finally realized that the place in which I stood after 7 years of failure, failed marriages, stupid stuff, it took me 7 years to realize that when God stood me up, he stood me in the same grace that he gave me when I accepted his son, Jesus Christ. And from that day forward, I've never accepted anything less. Now, have I stumbled? More ways than you could imagine. And yet I refuse to stay in that place. I'll stumble tomorrow and I'll live in grace the second after. Because God, listen, I didn't stumble because God didn't have the power to warn me. He did. And he did it so I wouldn't fail. And then I failed. And he walked over and he didn't laugh. He didn't point his finger. He didn't do any of that stuff. He picked me up. Like he picks you up, like he picks your kids who love Jesus up. He picks them up and he stands them up and he stands them in the grace in which we have access to through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when you stand, you're not battered and bruised in his eyes. You are without fault and without blemish. Listen to Ephesians chapter 5. Listen to what Paul writes. This will be the last verse that I read. Husbands, love your wives. Just as what? Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. 90% of marriage problems could be solved, men, if we just practice this in our homes, right? And listen what happens. When you love the way Jesus loves, you make her what? Holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and you what? Present, stand in front of yourself, right, as a radiant church without stain or without wrinkle or any other blemish. Then listen to this, holy and without any of that stuff. You see, our God is able to keep us from stumbling. Amen, church? Amen. Grateful for the power of the Holy Spirit that says, don't do that? Yeah. And yet, in spite of it, we fall in many ways. Amen? But God's power doesn't stop there. Our God stands us up, and he stands us up without fault, without blemish. He stands us up blameless. Why? Because the grace that we've been given through Jesus is ours even when we fail. We could get a lot more done for Jesus if we could just get you off the ground and quit worrying about who you used to be and what you were when you fell. But you need to believe what Scripture says. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you without fault, blameless, and with great joy to our only God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? So, Father, today I'm thankful for Jude and these 25 verses, a letter that was written for our day and for us as people. I'm so grateful he concluded it with the encouragement of these five words and the truth that's contained in them, Lord. I know there are people sitting in this room watching online that have marred themselves, they've named themselves, they've identified themselves with their failure. My prayer is that you would release them from that prison so they would mark themselves and name themselves and identify themselves, not with their failures, but with a God who is able to keep us from stumbling. And that same God is able to present us blameless, without fault, and do it with great joy to the only God, our Savior, the Jesus Christ, in every age, forever and ever. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you, church. Have a great day.